And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:17. I am Rob West. Notice how that verse doesn't say in some things. The fact is, we're to honor and glorify God in all we do, including our investing. Sean Morgan joins us today with some interesting data on Christian attitudes about faith-based investing. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's great to have Sean Morgan back with us again. Sean is the Director of Product Marketing at Eventide Asset Management, an underwriter of this program. And Sean, welcome back.
Glad to be back, Rob.
Sean, for several years now, we've, of course, been watching the growth of faith-based investing as a movement. But let's talk about the brand faith-based investing. Do you feel that needs some work?
It really might need a little work. Many financial advisors hesitate to bring up the concept of values-based investing or faith-based investing with their clients. And come to find out, it's for good reason. These terms don't actually mean much to most people, even to people who consider their faith to be very important in their lives. So Eventide recently commissioned a survey of investors 30 and older who self-proclaimed that they consider their faith to be important or very important in their lives. Hmm. And we received some interesting insights from this group of people. Right. So we learned what terms investors have like positive or negative responses to, what types of companies they would want to invest in, and which ones they would want to avoid. Hmm. And interestingly, one question at the end of the survey gives us a lot of perspective into what investors want from a financial advisor.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. But first, tell us the types of questions you asked for the survey and perhaps some of the results.
So generally speaking, when we asked toward the beginning of the survey about their opinion about investment approaches with certain labels, there were far more neutral responses than very positive or somewhat positive responses. So, for example, this was one of the questions we asked. What is your opinion of the following investment approaches? More people responded with neutral to faith-based investing and impact investing. Now, the term that received the greatest amount of somewhat positive responses was values-based investing, but it was still only 35% of people said that they had a somewhat positive response, and only 17% of people had a very positive response.
And again, Sean, just to interrupt for a second, these were people who said their faith is really important to them, right?
That's exactly right. So you're thinking about a subset of people that you would think would have a naturally positive response to some of these terms. But what we were getting back were kind of blank stares whenever we introduced these concepts to them. Hmm. So now what gave us more insight into maybe why they responded this way was another question we asked. We asked, how familiar are you with the following approaches of investing? And then we listed off things like values-based investing. And well, most people said that they had actually never heard of it. Faith-based investing, never heard of it. Biblically responsible investing, even more people had never heard of that. Wow. And even when we mentioned like more other types of intentional investing approaches like ESG or socially responsible investing, most people still said that they had never heard of those, which kind of explains why there weren't more positive responses. People just don't know what we mean by these terms. However, as we got further in the survey and we asked more questions like, would you sell off your investment if you learned a company was profiting from certain things that people would have a problem with? So when we asked those types of questions, many people responded by saying, well, they would want to sell off their investments if they learned the companies were doing these things.
Yeah.
So hypothetically, this is one of the questions we asked. So we said, hypothetically, would you seek to divest or sell off your investment if you learned that a company, dot, 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 the highest response was profiting off of pornography. 80% of people would want to sell off their investment if they learned that a company was doing that. Mm. And close behind that was people not wanting to invest in companies that use suppliers with child labor or harsh labor conditions. So these were all like more specific questions that we were asking And when we asked those more specific questions, people had more specific responses as far as how they felt about them.
Interesting. Well, we'll continue to unpack the data that you gleaned from this survey just around the corner, including would people increase their investments in companies that create human flourishing? And what was that question that they were interested in at the end of the survey? Back with Sean Morgan after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Did anyone pinch you yesterday? It might have been because you didn't wear green on St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick was a missionary to Ireland. He was kidnapped and forced to work as a slave for several years, but after he had escaped and was ordained for ministry, he returned to preach liberty to those who had held him captive. He was known for defending the doctrine of the Trinity, one God in three persons. Scripture shows this in many ways and places, but to give you one, here the Apostle Paul gave a parting blessing in 2 Corinthians 13. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com. And by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope. And now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon. Or call 888-201-5577.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Sean Morgan. He's Director of Product Marketing at Eventide Asset Management, an underwriter of this program. Before the break, Sean was sharing with us about a recent survey that he and the team at Eventide conducted about faith-based investing, talking specifically to believers, folks who said their faith was very important to them, about this idea of faith-based investing. Have they heard of it? What terms have they heard of? And what actions might they take if they knew their companies either were or were not aligned with their biblical values? Sean, frame up the survey again just for a moment for those just joining us in terms of what you were trying to accomplish.
Yeah, so we asked at the beginning, number one, we just chose a subset of people that at the beginning of the survey said that their faith was very important or somewhat important to them. So we're already dealing with the people that that say faith plays a big part in their lives. But then we wanted to know what their responses were whenever we asked them about investment approaches. And when we mentioned terms like faith-based investing and biblically responsible investing, a lot of them gave us blank stares back on the paper where they said, we just don't know what those mean, when we have a neutral response to those. So further out throughout the survey, when we started asking more specific questions that let them into what we meant by that, we actually had a lot more specific responses.
Yeah, let's dive into that. You did get somewhat of a positive response to values-based investing, but more blank stares around ESG and socially responsible investing. So even though these are all gaining traction and we're seeing growth, the average Christian in the pews perhaps is still relatively uneducated about what's going on here. Now, before the break, Sean, you were sharing about a specific question you asked around whether someone would divest or sell off an investment if they learned a company was doing things that were misaligned with their values. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so if we were to just ask if a company was acting against your values, would you divest from it? We probably anticipate that we'd still get more blank stares. But when we ask specifically of, would you divest from a company if they were profiting off of pornography? Yeah. 80% of people said they would want to sell off their investment. And the same thing with companies that had suppliers with child labor or labor conditions, or creating products that would end a life, or even products like tobacco. 55% of people said that they would divest from a company if it was producing a product that was harmful to people, like tobacco.
Yeah.
Now, we also ask the inverse question of, would any of the following increase your desire to invest in a company? And over 60% of people wanted to invest in a company that creates products or services that are healthy and positive for people and families. And the same thing with investing in a company that creates positive impact, not just for investors, but also for others, like customers and employees.
And this must have been really encouraging to you, Sean, and the work that you're doing there at Eventide, because what it says is, even though there's an education gap, there's a real opportunity, because believers, when confronted with these opportunities, want to lean into this, right?
Well, it lines up with what I experience in real life. Whenever people ask me about what I do, if I come back to them with a term of, hey, I work for an asset management company and we do faith-based investing. Yeah. I see a little bit of confusion, but whenever I say, hey, you know how you're probably investing in things and you have no idea what you're invested in? Well, my company seeks to avoid investing in companies that are doing harm, and it seeks to invest in companies that are actually doing something really positive. That actually resonates a lot more with people.
It sure does. You know, I get that all the time on the radio as I'm trying to explain values-based or faith-based investing. And I think an example is also helpful. You know, Sean, you educated me, you and the team at Eventide, about the fact that the solar supply chain was just fraught with slave labor. And as you all went out to invest in that particular area, you've selected companies that completely avoid that. And I think that's just something people can understand and wrap their arms around. Would you agree?
That's right. Whenever you're watching the news or reading about big injustices going on in the world, it's interesting to look at your own investing portfolio and say, in what ways am I proliferating this? Or in what ways am I like helping solve this problem?
Yeah, that's really interesting. All right, you said that the response from the last question was the most surprising of all. Share that with us.
Yeah, so at the end of the survey, remember at the beginning of the survey, we were getting neutral responses from things like, how much do you care about faith-based investing? But after the survey, and after we asked more specific questions about, would you be willing to divest from these types of companies and invest in these types of companies, we asked, would you be willing to change financial advisors in order to get access to investments that align with your values? And a whopping 62% of the respondents said yes. They would actually change advisors.
Wow.
We weren't just asking them, would you like it if your advisor brought it up to you? We were asking, would you be willing to actually leave your current advisor and go find a new one that aligned with your values? 62%.
Incredible.
That's right.
Yeah.
And another interesting question was, we also found that 63% of these respondents said that their advisor has never brought these things up to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Did that surprise you, Sean?
It really did, on a lot of levels, because as advisors are going through and relating to their clients and their values on other aspects of their financial plans, how they want to spend and save and give, it actually exposes a big need for advisors to come in and say, we want your investments to also reflect your values in how you're investing your money, not just in how you spend, save, and give, but how you invest.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, sum this up for us. So as you and the team pulled back and analyzed the data, what were some of your big takeaways?
So overall, this survey gives us a lot of insight into how advisors can talk to investors about, you know, faith-based or values-based investing. Overall, we figured out that these terms carry a lot more weight when you describe what they mean. Don't make assumptions that people are just immediately drawn to them. But make no mistake, people care about what they are investing in. And advisors can really show that they care about their clients by having these conversations with them. So I would encourage investors to bring this up with their advisors. And if you're an advisor, don't shy away from having these conversations with your clients. In fact, advisors that do bring this up with their clients might just deepen the relationship and retain more of their clients.
Yeah. You know, Sean, I was talking to a caller just yesterday, and she said, you know, Rob, I'm interested in this whole idea of values alignment with my investments, but I brought it up to my advisor, and he's a believer. He's very committed in our church, but he kind of dismissed it and said, yeah, you really can't do that. And I think so often advisors are well-intentioned. They're certainly not trying to mislead anybody, but so many of them just aren't familiar with what's possible in this space today. Would you agree with that?
I would. There's a lack of education, especially with financial advisors, that when they're looking day to day on what's available right in front of them on their platform, they don't even know how to go about seeking out investment advisors or investment management companies that will implement this into how they're managing their portfolios. And we just that's a big initiative at Eventide, is to fill in that education gap to show advisors that it is possible.
I know there's a lot of work you all are doing there. We're certainly grateful for it. Where can folks go to get more information and begin their own educational process?
So I would go to our website, eventideinvestments.com, and you can search out our resources there and reach out. Advisors can actually reach out to us, and we can take them through this process.
Excellent. Sean, we always appreciate our time with you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Morgan. He's been our guest today. He's Director of Product Marketing at Eventide Asset Management. The website again, eventideinvestments.com. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and I'm ready to dive into your questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. That probably won't be the case a little later in the broadcast. So call now with whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life. And here's our promise to you. We'll be hopeful and encouraging as you invite us into your story, always pointing you back to Scripture so we can look at money through the lens of a biblical worldview, that we're managers or stewards of the King of Kings resources, that God has a lot to say on this topic. Now, it's not that he needs our money. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, but instead it's what he wants for us. He knows, and it's clear in God's word, that if we allow it to, money will compete with God for first position in our lives. Our culture reinforces this idea that our self-worth is equal to our net worth. Well, we just know that's simply not true. Our identity is rooted in Christ. God is our ultimate treasure, and money, well, it's one of God's good gifts that we can use to provide and enjoy, but also to bless others around us, and that comes through our generosity. But I realize you have practical daily decisions that you're wrestling with in your financial life, and so each day on this program, we tackle those together. So call right now. What are you waiting for? 800-525-7000. I'd love to talk to you today. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin in North Dakota, and welcome Claudine to the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Rob. I'm 76 years old, and I've never called into a radio show in my life, so this is new to me. But
well, I'm honored, Claudine, that you would trust us with that first call. So you go right ahead.
Okay. A little over 2 years ago, my husband passed away, and at that time, my CPA said, if nothing changes in my finances, I don't have to worry about filing taxes anymore. And I accepted that, but I just need some confirmation that that could possibly be true. I didn't know that there came a point in a senior citizen's life where they didn't have to file taxes anymore.
Yeah. Well, it all depends upon your income, Claudine, and your income sources. And if your income is of a certain amount, that is typically for single filers less than the standard deduction of $13,850, unless you're self-employed and earning income that way, then that is true. You do not need to file a tax return because there is no tax due. What are you living on now? Is it just Social Security alone?
My Social Security comes to about $28,000, and okay. I draw $400 a month from my husband's 401k plan.
Okay, yeah, very good. So if your Social Security is your only income, typically you won't need to file. It's the other income that can push you up high enough to require filing, and in some cases, even a portion of that Social Security becomes taxable. But if it's Social Security alone, your CPA is exactly right. You would not need to file in just about every case, and you know, I would trust that professional's guidance in this situation. But it sounds like, given that you're just drawing an income from his investments, and is that inside of a retirement account of some sort?
It's his 401k. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, very good. And how much did you say you're taking out per year?
$400 a month.
So okay, yeah.
$4,800 a year.
Yeah.
Very good. So I think the combination of that $4,800 a year plus Social Security being your only income would likely put you in that situation. I think you could go back to your CPA and just say, hey, I'd love an update on this. Can you take a look at what's going on? But from what I'm hearing here, Claudine, I would concur with what you were told.
Oh, thank you so much. I don't have to worry about the IRS coming after me then. Thank
you. That's exactly right. All right, Claudine. Hey, may the Lord bless you. We're so thankful that you called today. And call anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your financial questions today. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. By the way, with a little less than a month to go before the tax filing deadline, the IRS is saying that you need to know three things that can help you with the process. First, you have a few different free tax filing options. The IRS Free File Program is in place now, plus something called the IRS Direct File Pilot option. There are other options called the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. There's tax counseling for the elderly. You can find out more on all of these programs at irs.gov. Let me also say, secondly, the IRS is telling us that you may be eligible for the Earned Income Tax Credit for low and moderate income taxpayers. The IRS says millions of people qualify but don't claim the credit, so that might be something worth looking into. And then finally, you can still lower your tax bill by funding a pre-tax individual retirement account. So you can contribute for 2023 before you file for 2023 taxes, so all the way up until April the 15th. And that would allow you to contribute up to $6,500 in an IRA, either a traditional or a Roth or both. You just can't go over $6,500 between all of them. Or you can add $1,000 to that if you're 50 or older. You can go up to $7,500. So don't miss that opportunity to reduce your taxes through a retirement plan contribution. Let me also just remind you from a biblical perspective that taxes are always symptomatic of income, so we can pay them with thanksgiving to the Lord that we had income that required us to pay taxes. That might be a little different perspective than you've had in the past. Reducing taxes will generally cost you something, so don't get so focused on that deduction that it causes you to spend money you wouldn't have otherwise spent. And then I would just conclude with Jesus' own words in Luke 20:25. He said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's." So we're not to pay more than we owe, but we certainly are to pay what we owe, based on this instruction from Jesus himself. And again, I think looking at it through the lens of taxes being symptomatic of God's provision and income can perhaps take some of the sting out as you pay your tax bill. All right, a quick break and then back with your questions. 800-525-7000. Call right now. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
It can be tough to obey God's calling in a tricky situation. How do you push through? On the next Focus on the Family, author Robin Dykstra explains how the Lord can direct and guide us past obstacles and detours on the way to the outcome He desires, if we'll listen. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. I'm Rob West. Looks like we have one line open today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Hey, did you know that one of the keys, according to a recent study, to overcoming the conflict that we can often have in marriage over money is to have cushion or margin? Here's what I mean by that. The study says that 70% of married couples have conflict around money in marriage. We just struggle to get on the same page and operate with unity. One of the keys to overcoming that is not a matter of the income that you have. It's a matter of you living on less than whatever that income is, that you have cushion or margin, and that really is key to being able to have productive conversations around money in marriage. And in part, that's because you have to have that surplus in order to be able to fund your goals. If you're going to use money as a tool to accomplish beyond basic needs, your God-given goals, increasing your giving, saving for the future, paying off debt, taking a family vacation. If you're going to be able to do any of those things, you got to have that surplus. Well, I've found the absolute key, apart from recognizing God owns it all, is to have a spending plan. You've got to have that spending plan that balances, and then you can't stick it in the drawer. You've got to have a plan or a system to control the flow of money in and out. For Julie and me, that's the FaithFi app. You can find it at faithfi.com. Just click on app or search for FaithFi in your app store. We've set up our budget. We have envelopes for every category, digital, of course. We've connected our bank and the credit cards we use for budgeted items. The transactions download automatically. They're smart enough to know which envelopes each transaction or vendor goes into. And at any point in the month, she and I can open the app and say, yep, we're off track on eating out. Guess what? We're not eating out anymore for the next 2 weeks. And that's just the kind of decisions we can make because we have the information at our fingertips. Check it out today. You can download it at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app. All right, back to the phones. It looks like they're all full, so we're going to dive in and get to as many as we can. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Jamie. Thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yes, I was calling about an annuity that I had rolled over to an F&G annuity, and it's been 2 years, and the way it was presented to me, I was supposed to make some money and has not made any money at all. So I didn't know whether to try to roll it into something else or and I have another question. I wanted to take some money out. I can take out $20,000 a year without any penalties, and we've got some house repairs we wanted to do before I retired. Would that be wise to do that?
Yes, very good. So a couple of thoughts there. Number one is, you know, annuities are not my favorite choice in terms of, you know, how we grow our wealth. Do they have a place? Absolutely. And when it comes to, you know, investing, we have to decide, do we want to bear the burden of the risk or do we want to transfer that to someone else? And that's where annuities can shine. If you say, listen, I understand the risk associated with investing in the market, even though you can manage that through a properly diversified portfolio. So what I want to be able to do is transfer that to someone else, in this case, an insurance company, so that I have the opportunity to, you know, no longer incur that on myself and, you know, transfer that to the insurance company in exchange for either a fixed rate of return with a fixed annuity or a variable rate of return where I generally get a portion of the upside of whatever investments I select, but I have a floor on the downside. So I'm in exchange for giving up part of the upside, getting no downside risk. Do you know what type of annuity it is, fixed or variable?
Well, it says an accumulator plus 10 individual retirement annuity. I know that it's on S&P and, hold on a second, S&P 500 composite, Barclays Trailblazer Sectors, and a GS Global Factor Index.
Yeah.
I don't know what
so this is a deferred fixed annuity that has the opportunity to grow based on an underlying market index where you get a portion of that upside. And then there's generally a fixed amount that might be called a bonus that's added to it as well. And so you need to understand why you're not seeing any gain in there, because there should have been a market value adjustment. Now, it could just be that during the duration that you've had it, the particular indexes you were in, you know, you've had some downward adjustments along with the upward adjustments. But I would want an explanation on that in terms of, you know, if in fact there has been no gain and it's not just that it's been credited to a cash account and you're not seeing it or something. Why is that there hasn't been any gain associated with this? Because obviously the purpose that you had it was that, you know, it would grow in value, even if it's not growing as much as the market. But you had that downside protection, which you were probably looking for. So I would want an explanation on that. In terms of where you go from here, you know, if you are interested in rolling that out, you know, you could hire an advisor that inside an IRA, which you could typically roll this out to, could manage this in the market, managing the risk through, you know, a stock and bond portfolio. But the goal there would be, you know, to have downside protection. You can't eliminate it, but just try to be, you know, as conservative as possible, allow you to fully, participate in the upside of, you know, the bond and the stock market as it grows. You have to take the downside with it, but you also have complete access to your money, whereas there can be some limitations inside the annuity. So give me your thoughts on that. Are you wanting to take, you know, little to no risk, and therefore you're comfortable with an insurance product, or would you be interested in getting it out of the complexity of an insurance product and managed by an advisor, but recognizing that there is downside risk with that?
Well, I don't know. See, I asked this guy, I said, I was wondering why we haven't gotten any, you know, any interest on it. And he says, well, at least you didn't lose any money. I could have kept it where it was at, and I kept right. And drawing a little bit of interest, you know what I'm saying, without losing anything. So, so I don't know. I can't sit around, and we don't have a lot, so we're just kind of trying to make as much as we can off of it.
Yeah, well, that's not an acceptable answer to me. You know, at least you didn't lose money, because, I mean, you could have been in CDs inside an IRA and gotten 5% a year. Now, obviously, you did this. How long have you been in this product?
2 years. I did it in 2022.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, there should have been at least a fixed interest rate attached to this. Plus, I would imagine that you had some upside potential as well. So I'd try to get a little bit more explanation. And then I think perhaps the next best option, other than being with Fidelity and Guarantee Life Insurance Company, which is a very soundly rated company, but perhaps, you know, getting some other alternatives from a few advisors, maybe a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas that could present you with some other alternatives that might might do a little better, or at least give you the ability to make a little bit more money, I think would be a better option. Because keep in mind, even once you get to a retirement season of life, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you still have a decades-long need for this money to last. And one of the key ways you overcome inflation is by growing it. Now, you have to take the downside risk with that. But again, you're not looking, you know, for this over a 1 or a 2 or even a 5 year period. You're looking at 10 or 20 years that this money needs to last, Lord willing. And with that allows you to, you know, overcome any down markets that may come as a result of a recession or something like that. So I'd connect with an advisor in your area, Jamie, at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
God hasn't promised you or me that we're going to sail through life with a get-home-free pass and not have any difficulty. But what God has promised is that His grace is sufficient for every need we will ever have. Amen.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Courage to Conquer, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. We have a few lines open. You can call right now. Let's go to Tennessee. Lloyd, thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. West, first of all, thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
My wife and I, I'm 70, my wife's 69. We want to do a reverse mortgage. We don't know where to start. We probably owe 35-40% of the home's value. It's a humble abode. That would be one thing. And then I want to ask you a question about investing. What, say, low six figures, that we're getting 5% now through a local credit union every 11 or 13 months. And then I want to ask you about some home and car insurance, which everybody knows is going way up.
Yeah, no question about it.
Reverse mortgage, first of all.
Yeah, very good. I mean, so a reverse mortgage is a planning tool that should be considered in this season of life. A lot of folks, you know, really like the idea of getting out of debt and staying out of debt, being completely unencumbered, and I certainly understand that. I think God's Word affirms that. But this idea that in this season of life, if income is limited, we've got a good bit of equity tied up in a home that we plan to stay in for a long time, and we want to take on what's considered non-recourse debt, as long as we use what's called a HECM, which is a home equity conversion mortgage. The reason it's non-recourse is basically through a reverse mortgage that's a HECM, you basically have the U.S. government stepping in and saying that anything that is ever owed on this reverse mortgage that exceeds the value of the home, we will cover it. So, you know, if they pay you out, let's say, a monthly income stream and you live to 130 and they ended up paying you more than the value of the home when it was sold at your death or the death of you and your wife, then the government will step in and cover the difference. There's never any thing owed by you. And so that's non-recourse. You're not guaranteeing it personally apart from pledging the value of the home. Now, there's a couple of ways you can go about it. One would be if you had a balance that you're continuing to pay a mortgage payment on, you could initiate a reverse mortgage and essentially just pay off the mortgage. So now you no longer have a payment. You don't have to start taking an income stream. And then whatever you owed that was paid off by the reverse mortgage to your conventional lender, that amount would then grow over time with fees and interest. And then at your death or when you sold the home, whichever comes first, then the home would be sold and they would, you know, the balance would be paid off, whatever it is at that time. The second option is to take a line of credit against it, which is where you could borrow against the home if you need it. And then the third is to actually convert it to an income stream where not only would they pay off the existing loan balance, but then they'd start giving you a monthly amount that would continue for the rest of your lives that could supplement your income. Now, keep in mind, you're systematically decreasing that equity that you have, but it does, you know, provide for some folks who are really kind of struggling in this season of life, some supplemental income that really helps them to maintain their quality of life, and it can be very helpful. They're not all created equal, so I'd be, you know, thoughtful about who you work with. I wouldn't just respond to someone off the television. We do have an underwriter here at Faith and Finance, a wonderful mortgage company that does specialize in reverse mortgages called Movement Mortgage, and you could go to movement.com/faith. And then connect with somebody there to help you understand how all of this works. But you would qualify, Lloyd, based on the fact that you have at least 50% equity in the home.
And it was called Movement, what, sir?
Movement.com/faith. Are you on? Do you use the internet?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. The word move, I understand. Movement.com/faith, and then you can put your information in and they'll give you a call.
Okay. Well, we have very little debt. Very little, 3.5-4%. We just don't know where, other than what you just shared with me, this movement.com, we have no direction. And I'm not looking for some rascal with a crucifix or cross on the front door.
Sure.
We got plenty of those out there. Also, we have maybe, you know, low six figures that we'd like to have something. You know, a better. We're getting now through a local credit union 5% every 11 to 13 months. Then you've got, it's like a CD. Then you, it's a very reputable company, credit union.
Yeah.
But that's what we've been doing the last year and a half or so. Just when it's up, we just roll it over again, or it starts a new plan. I'm not sure. But as far as investing safely.
Yes.
With monies that we have, like there's $100,000 in this credit union.
Yeah.
At say whatever it's going to be next month, I don't know.
I like that option a lot, Lloyd. I would probably just check that against whatever the prevailing rates are at some of the online banks. I would go to bankrate.com. Here's another website, bankrate.com. You could click on CD right there at the top of the page, and then you would go in and sort by whatever duration you want, and you could see who has the very best rates as of that day and just compare it to what you're getting with the credit union. The only thing I might throw out is we know rates are going to start coming down. Well, we're almost sure at some point this year. The Fed was originally saying we could have as many as 6 rate cuts, which probably more like 3 this year. And the longer that inflation proves to be stubborn, the more that's pushed out. And so it could be certainly in the second half of this year. But they are going to be coming down. And so it may be time to start looking at, you know, 3-year or even a 5-year CD if you're able to, or maybe you ladder it. You take 25% of it and you put it at 6 months, 25% at a year, 25% at 2 years, 25% at 4 years. And then every year or so you have, you know, maybe a fourth of it coming due. But at least you can lock in some of these higher interest rates, because you may find yourself 12 months from now where rates are quite a bit lower than they are today.
Well, we're not pressed. I mean, we're financially, we live very humbly.
Okay.
Yeah. Very humble abode. Next question, if I may, if you can direct me as well, is home and automobile insurance.
Yeah. So I don't have a solution for that other than there's some great tools online where you can get some great quotes just to compare. I would just say shop around. Don't just take the first quote and you just recognize that unless you just have a trusted relationship and, you know, you value other things beyond just the premium, like the customer service and just their willingness to step in and, you know, cover some of the extras. If you're really just shopping based on price, it probably makes sense for you to, you know, jump around every couple of years because a lot of times they'll discount it on the front end to get you in. And then over time it begins to increase. So I would just use some of the online tools to check and get quotes against what you're getting right now and just compare them. There's some great comparison tools out there. Lloyd, I appreciate your call and your kind remarks about the program, sir. May the Lord bless you. Let's see. We're going to go next to Julie in Louisiana. How can I help?
Hi. How are you? Thank you
Doing
for
great.
Taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I went on long-term disability with my company through MetLife about a year and a half ago. And just in that time, I've been through four high-level reviews for MetLife. I think they're trying to avoid paying me. My doctors say that, you know, I should not go back to work, but they're applying on my behalf for Social Security disability and whatever that ends up being approved for, whether it does or not, hopefully it will, then that will come out of the net, the gross portion that MetLife pays me. My question is it 55 this year, are there any benefits to SSDI as far as, I don't know whether I'll have to pay taxes on that, or am I going to get hit for heavy taxes from my MetLife retirement?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if your only income is your disability benefits, you probably won't be taxed on them. But when you have other income, that's where you have the possibility that you are. They may be taxable, you know, if you have dividends or tax-exempt interest or retirement plan income because you're taking withdrawals. So, you know, if you're, are you married filing jointly or single head of household?
Divorced, single okay. head of household.
All right. Yeah. So you can report up to 25,000 of income, you know, half of your SSDI benefits plus other income before you would need to pay taxes on your SSDI benefits. So that's just kind of a good rule of thumb is that 25,000 number, half of which is factored in from SSDI. So if the half beyond the SSDI is more than, you know, 12,500, getting you to a total of 25,000, then that's where you're likely going to need to pay some taxes on that SSDI. So I think the key for you, Julie, is to check with the CPA and just go over all of this. And if you need help, you don't have one, you could go to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional. But hopefully that rule of thumb gives you at least a starting place. Quickly to Texas, Greg, I've got just about 45 seconds. How can I help?
Hello there. And my quick question is, other than a 401k, is there any other type of avenue that one can reduce their taxes? I guess I'm in a great position right now, paying about $1,000 a week in federal taxes.
Yeah, yeah, very good. So you mentioned the retirement accounts. I mean, an HSA can be helpful. Using a qualified charitable distribution, you know, when you're over 70 and a half. Itemizing, so, you know, maximizing your deductions and getting above that standard deduction. Tax credits. I mentioned earlier that the IRS is encouraging folks to see if they are eligible for an earned income tax credit. Those are for low and moderate income taxpayers, so that may not apply. And then finally, tax loss harvesting, which is where you have losses, you know, potentially in your investments. That could be another one where you're, you know, and harvesting capital gains. So always a good idea to check with the CPA to see if you're taking full advantage of everything available to you. But hopefully that gives you some ideas. God bless you, sir. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin, Jim, Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Hey, check us out online at faithfi.com while you're there. Perhaps support the ministry by clicking Give. Thanks in advance for that. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.